welcome back to Not Just Crew. Got a bit of a special one for you today. In some respects, it's like bringing the old band back together. Simon can't be with us. He's busy dispatching. He would have loved to be here, so I'm bringing in the equal best. We've got Alex Chisnell joining us, and we're going to be speaking to Ellie Murphy about the launch of her new podcast, The Red Eye. We originally spoke to her in December about this when she was planning it. Have a little look at this clip.
Because we fly all over the world, we speak to so many different people, and we've collected these stories, and some of them are chance encounters, some of them are funny, some of them are sad, some of them are just hilarious and crazy. But we have all of these stories. We're collecting them from crew. Starting off with my story, because I thought if I'm going to do it, I need to just do my one of my stories first. But we're collecting them from crew. So if there's any crew that have got a great story, the one that you tell at the dinner table, we're turning them into stories based on true events. So names and details can and will be changed if you want them to, or we can use your real story if you want.
Right, well, welcome back. So I'm going to bring in Alex. It's been a long time since we've seen him. We have, in fact, if you join us next Monday, we've got an interview with Alex on a location at his studio in London. So I'm going to bring him back, my old friend. It's been quite a while since he's appeared on it. Welcome back, Alex.
Pleasure.
Long time no see for you being in the NJC studio. So we have got an interview with you coming out next week. Just briefly, because we'll tell them all about next week, what have you been up to? Because I say a lot of people think you're
just replacing Simon, really, which I'm happy to do. You know, far better looking of the three of us.
Yeah, so, well, some people think you're one and the same people, because it's like a Jekyll and Hyde, and you're never in the same place at the same time. Hyde? Who's so? But yeah, no, I know you've been full on. We've been watching some of your podcasts. How is life in the fast lane?
No, good, and good to see you last week. You swung by the studio in London, Tile Yard near King's Cross, where I was recording with a guest for my podcast, Scriptures Do It. So it's good to see you. Hope you enjoyed it. It was a good day. Brilliant, recording. Mate. And just been, you know, for me, it's two things. One, it's my own podcast, which is my most favorite thing in the world. And second favorite thing is helping other people do exactly the same. So that's making podcasts for other organizations or individuals. And it's, yes, quite a mix. Literally just got off the phone today. Conversation with a venture capital firm, and then last Friday, right, it was a girl from Geordie Shore and another girl from Too Hot to Handle, like two reality TV stars, if that's what you'd like to call them. So yeah, pretty varied. Keeps me interested, and love it. Wouldn't want to be doing anything else.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, that was a wonderful day. I really, really enjoyed it. The difference going from a little studio like this into a professional outfit, and such a beautiful place, King's Cross. It has really, really changed. But it's great working for you. So everyone else can see this interview next week. We'll also put links down for all your podcasts on there. I mean, in certain circles, in fact, most circles, you're known as the Podfather. You've certainly been a big influence. And talking of podcasts, I'm going to bring in another presenter. So it's like bringing the old band back together. Ali Murphy, who's now pretty much settled on the other side of the pond in Seattle. I say last time we saw Ali was at Christmas. You've just seen the clip, but here she is. It's a big day today. Today is launch day of the Red Eye. I could probably go in and tell people a bit about it, but listen, there's no one better than yourself to tell us about your podcast, which launches today globally. So, Ali, tell us a bit about the concept and sort of what work's gone into it.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on again. So the Red Eye podcast, it's a storytelling podcast. It's short audio stories. We've basically taken the true stories from flight attendants, pilots, passengers, and put a fictional twist on them to turn them into little short stories, sort of about 20 minutes long, so you can listen whilst you're driving along or just need a 20-minute escape. I realised a while ago that the stories that I have from my flying days were just extraordinary. I could literally spend an entire dinner party telling people, oh, and then this one time, and then this one time. And I thought, I want to share that. I want, and I bet everyone, there's so many more stories as well. So, and the more I'm talking to people, the more I'm finding out. It's absolutely fascinating. So I'm so excited to have this out in the world today.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've got to ask you, what do you think the global fascination is? And it does seem to be in every country. The global fascination with cabin crew, and you still see it sort of walking through airports. They do become sort of the centre of attention. So what do you think the global fascination is?
Well, I think it started out sort of, you know, in the 1950s, 1960s, when it really was a new thing and a very glamorous thing to do. And in fact, we've been speaking to a few crew members who were flying in the early 70s. And it was a different world, aviation back then. And the service was just mind-blowing, like carving meats in the aisles and offering cigars to all the males and stuff. So it's just always had an allure to it. It's been exotic, it's been glamorous. And nowadays, even so, it might not be so glamorous anymore. But if you see a group of people and you think, gosh, that person isn't in the same country for more than a few days at a time, what a life. Like, travel, it always helps. Travel makes us grow, gives us new experiences. And cabin crew and pilots do these every week. They experience new people, new destinations, new sites, new experiences every single week. And of course, that's fascinating. I mean, I like to hear about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry to interrupt. Was that Trevor's episode, the one from the 1970s?
Oh, you evil man.
Who's older? I can't remember who's older. I think I'm a tad older than you. Not by much, I'm sure. I was going to say, Alex, you were... you joined the airline. I won't mention any airlines at the moment. You joined your particular airline, what, in the 1990s? Was it something you set out to do?
No, it was it's a funny story in that I literally remember finishing uni. I started at the BBC Radio Wales in Cardiff. I was doing that part-time to try and get my foot in the door. And I remember being in bed on a Saturday morning and my mum kicking me out of bed and telling me that she'd got me an interview at Cardiff Airport, which is called Roos Airport at the time. And being in fear of my mother, as many young men are, I got my ass up to the airport. And I assumed, I don't know why, I just assumed, and I can't remember because it was that many years ago, I assumed it was for baggage handling. I literally thought she got me a job as a baggage handler. And before I know it, this was for air tours and short haul out of Cardiff. And before you know it, I've been offered a job as cabin crew. And I was literally starting with another, whatever it was, 12, 13, 14 people. It was a brand new base operating out of Cardiff. And one of the guys on my training cast, a guy called Keith Holloway, which many people may know from Virgin Atlantic days, we ended up both joining Virgin Atlantic together and then living together down in Wimbledon in London. And you know, as Ali says, it's all about memories. You know, it really is. It's the people you meet and it's the memories you make along the way with travel. And yeah, for me, it was complete chance that I joined the airline industry, and I enjoyed it so much that I just thought I enjoy going away. The only problem with the short haul is you're not actually anywhere for any length of time. I love going to America, which I used to spend my summers at uni going to coach kids at summer camp in America. And I thought, let's combine the two. Who flies to America all the time? And in my mind, it was just Virgin Atlantic. And that was literally the connection. I applied, got the job, and was there 17 years in the end. Crazy.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, even since, I first joined in the 1990s, a few years after you, I have seen a massive change in the airline industry. It's still sort of considered glamorous. Sort of work has sort of changed slightly. So Ali, so your stories, you're saying they literally start right from the early glamour days of the post-war sort of late 40s, 1950s.
Well, I've not managed to speak to anyone from that era yet. I have been in contact with one of the first female pilots in the United States, but she's in her 90s, so she's asked me to wait a little while until I speak to her. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed for her. But there's been a couple of people from Pan Am and BCAL in the 1970s that I've spoken to, and people from the 90s. They had a lot of fun as well in the the flying days. But I mean, a lot of it, the stories are so varied. I mean, in the first three episodes that have launched today, there's one about an outrageous passenger, the funny passengers that we always get on board who end up doing crazy things. There's one about a medical emergency that crew are so good at handling. And I don't think a lot of people are aware how good cabin crew are at handling really desperate situations that I'm sure that the majority of people on the ground would freeze and panic if they had to deal with. And then, you know, cabin crew are doing it up 38,000 feet in the air. So there's a story about that. And then there's a good old room party story. So I thought we started off with a little bit of a variation. But there's other stories coming up. There's romantic stories. There's, flashing back to the old days stories. I've also been interviewing a few passengers that have had incredible experiences. Funnily enough, one of them is actually just a friend of mine who lives down the road. And when I told him I was doing this podcast, he's like, well, you know what happened to me, don't you? And he'd been in an incident in Bangkok that had been in the newspapers and stuff. So we've told his story. Later on this week, I am chatting to one of the passengers who was on the Hudson River Miracle on the Hudson crash. And I cannot wait to speak to him just get his perspective, because, you know, it's we've heard from the pilots in that situation. I want to hear from the passengers as well. So everybody has stories. And I think travel just gives us even more access to even more stories. And I'm excited to be able to tell those. I'm not causing too much scandal. I'm not causing any problems here. I just think as cabin crew and pilots and people working in the aviation industry, we just have so many memories and so many stories. And I'm so excited to interview Sonia Costello.
It'll change then.
Well, they're only 20-minute long episodes, Alex. I don't think I've got enough time to speak to him. So
we can turn it into an epic. But yeah, he's busy dispatching. He's somebody who very much likes the aviation industry. In fact, Ali, I was going to ask you quickly. I mean, I fell in to sort of flying completely by mistake. It wasn't anything I ever expected to do. It was the 90s. There was a recession. I was going out with a girl at the time who was in the airlines, and she took me on a 3-night at San Francisco, and I couldn't believe this crew. We're right. It's we'll gorgeous it hotel. Yeah, yeah. Well, big hotel, big one of cash. Trauma. big one of cash. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But it was amazing. So I was going to say, Ali. So Alex and I both fell into it by accident, and I think Simon did as well. For you, your story. How did you get into flying? Is it something you wanted to do, or did you just fall into it?
Well, without giving too much away, because it's one of the episodes for April. my story was I can't change my name. Everyone knows it's me. I was an actor in the 90s, and that was all I wanted to do from when I was a kid. I was just wanted to be an actor, and I was on TV a little bit. I'd had like little tiny bit parts on different soaps and British TV shows and stuff, and I'd been on stage, and that was all I wanted to do. And then I was getting quite despondent because I think I was like 20 years old, and I used to be a little overweight. And in the 90s, I don't know if anyone remembers that all the actresses were, you know, Calista Flockhart, very, very slim. And I was not that body type. So I kept getting told by casting directors that I just wasn't beautiful enough, and I wasn't, you know, the type of person that they wanted to cast in those lead roles that 20-year-olds get. I was in an acting class and sort of feeling like, oh my gosh, I'm not getting any work. And there was a guy who worked for Britannia in my acting class, and he was like, oh, I can't come to class next week, guys. I've got to go to Orlando for 5 days. I was like, that sounds fun. And I looked to see who was hiring, and the only airline that was hiring was Virgin Atlantic for me. And I joined, and I had an amazing time. And I only meant to stay for a few years, just until I didn't, you know, qualify for the romantic lead roles anymore. And I stayed there 14 years.
Similar for a lot of people, isn't it? I'm sure everyone, or a lot of people, I was the same, saying, I'm going to stay a maximum 2 years. I want to go to every destination. And then I'm going to go and get a proper job, in inverted commas. But none of us ever did.
It's hard to leave once you're in.
It's hard to leave
that lifestyle. Yeah, that lifestyle of, oh gosh, I'm never going to be able to just escape for a few days, or just, you know, walk down the beach in the middle of winter. It's a hard lifestyle to give up. But I think it's always helpful if you have something that you love to go to.
Do you remember this from the 90s? And I can remember actually being in the flight center with cabin crew who were being weighed. Anybody mm-hmm. else remember that?
I was weighed in my interview, but my interview was 2002.
Isn't that an amazing thing to hear in 2021?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we were weighed.
I may have been weighed. To be honest, I was more interested in trying on the uniform. So, I've put some timber on since, but I may have been weighed, but I definitely wasn't overweight, so it didn't even sort of cross my mind. I suppose it was just like a medical examination.
Well, the women that we've been speaking to, the Pan Am stewardesses that I've been speaking to, they're telling me like you were weighed every trip. You were weighed if you put on
every
a pound.
Trip.
Yeah, you couldn't put on a pound. Wow. If you were, then you were given a warning and then you had to lose that before the next one. And you had to retire at the age of 32. You also couldn't be married. So, yeah. And that's not that long ago to me. Like, I know it's not like I'm a 21-year-old anymore, but I don't feel like the 70s were that long ago to be.
No, they were certainly
that bad, but yeah.
Yeah, would crazy. You, both of you, if you had the chance to go back in time just for a few days, would you have liked to have experienced flying in the say 1950s even through to the 70s? Would you have liked to give that a go? Because somehow they may remain to look sort of glamorous, but the work seems to be harder. Even when I joined Virgin, some of the hat racks, I think we had to have step ladders to stow things away. Would you have liked to have given it a go?
Oh, just for the novelty. Yeah, for sure. Like the BCAL stewardess I was talking to, they used to have to change uniforms after takeoff, and they put the white gloves on, and they'd be sort of handing out cigars. I want to do all of that just for the fun of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, just for one little go, just to see what it was like.
Did you ever do short haul, Ali, quickly? Did you ever give that a go?
I didn't know. I was always a long haul girl.
Yeah. No, I had one season of doing short haul, and I do really honestly think that does prepare you for the glamour of the long haul glamour.
It's a lot of work, yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot. So, look, Alex, I'm sure you've got a couple more questions. Anything in?
Yeah, I mean, Ali, I mean, what's the best story that you haven't had yet would be the question, eh?
The best story I haven't had yet? I don't know.
I've
been working... Yeah, it's... I'm always, this is the point, I think, is that there are always things that you're not expecting. Like, and that's what I've not been, apart from when I first started, I was like, I'd love a story about, medicals or restraints or crazy passengers. And then suddenly they all came flying in, and then little other gems of stories came through. I'm working with the most amazing writer, and she's really helped turn these stories. I know what I'm like when I tell a story. I'm like, oh, and then this happened, and then this happened. But I've been working with this incredible writer who's been able to turn them into these beautifully crafted stories. So there's nothing that I'm like, oh, I want this, because I'm always constantly amazed. I just have to speak to people. I've had some interest from a woman messaged me and said, oh, my son is an air traffic controller. Would you like to speak to him? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. The more I talk to people, the more I'm finding these incredible stories that are all related and different perspectives as well. It's fascinating. I love it. I genuinely get a buzz just chatting to people. And I usually try and speak to somebody over Zoom so I can look people in the eye and then also not have to take notes. I just record the meeting so that I can just take notes. And some people we're getting, we can just turn, they never appear on camera or anything and their name isn't on it. They can just get to tell their story and remain completely honest. We can change details so it's not identifiable for the airline or anything like that. But sometimes I've been speaking to people who are ex-crew and actually really happy to come on board and tell their story. I spoke to a guy the other day who was telling me about he's seeing a ghost on board, and I just wasn't expecting it from this guy. And he was like, no, yeah, I saw a ghost. And another crew member a few weeks down the line saw the exact same person. And so I've turned that into an episode that will come out at some point, probably
that
April.
Is amazing.
I always remember people, I'm sure there were stories around ghosts when I've forgotten the reg of the plane, but Virgin Atlantic, and it's when we had the galleys under the stairs. And I'm sure people just used to say those stories to scare the crap out of someone who would literally work in the galley under the stairs for the duration of the flight, which now sounds crazy, yeah. doesn't it? You just think, mental yeah. health at work, you're on your own underneath the floor
with no daylight.
Well, there certainly went a lot of ghost stories regarding hotels we used to stay.
Yeah.
Even in my time there. I, for one, I never saw a thing. But again, I think the stories were there to scare us, especially the new crew. In fact, Ali, that's one question I was going to ask you really, really quickly. Do you find people literally embellish their stories, or do they tell you everything? Do you have to draw information out of them, and sort of what's your sort of approach in getting the perfect story for your podcast?
I always have like questions that I want to ask, but I find actually if you just stay quiet and let people tell their story, so many gems that wouldn't have come out if I just interrupted every 5 seconds. So I let people tell their whole story the way they want to tell it, and then I'll go back and say, okay, I just want to know about this. And my writer is great. She always tells me, like, I really want to know the backstory of people, like why they were there that day, how they were feeling, how it made them feel throughout it, because those are the bits of things that I guess as a person telling a story you usually skip over those bits because you don't want to, we're not bothered about that. But actually we like having these fully rounded stories that are like that. It gives it a more human and a more personal touch. It's not just, oh, I was on board and this happened. It was like, you know, I was on board, I was a person, I was tired, I was going through this that day, and then this happened and it made me feel like this, and then I had a realization. And these stories, I always find there's a lot of stories that happen in our lives that change you, they shape you. Definitely. If you hadn't been there that day feeling those feelings, you might not be the person you are today. And I always find that concept really fascinating as well, which is what my story is that will come out probably in April, is that, you know, if I hadn't been on a certain flight on a certain day, then maybe I wouldn't be where I am right now. So,
that's happened quite a few times. Okay, so firstly, I'm sure you're after more stories, you want this podcast to continue, and so is it open to literally everyone in aviation? And does this include, I know you've sort of mentioned it a few, but passenger stories, just everyone in aviation? And furthermore,
anyone that's got,
we put a link down, yeah, where can they contact you?
So yeah, this is open to absolutely anybody with a story of travel that has changed your life, shaped your life, or is just the story that you tell people at dinner parties, you know, the crazy people that you meet, the funny stories that you tell. Can you believe this happened? We're after all of those stories. Ex-crew, current crew, passengers, pilots, anyone working in the aviation industry that has a story to tell, I would love to hear it. And if you are current crew, we are very happy to make things super anonymous for you. We're not going to reveal you any identifying details or airlines or anything like that. We don't want to get anybody into trouble, because I know obviously there's very strict rules about you know, sharing too many details, and we're not here to cause trouble. We are here to just share these incredible stories. Most of the stories are just sharing how incredible cabin crew are and the things that they do for passengers, for each other, and for themselves. You know, I want to share how amazing everybody is, so that's what we're here for. If you want to get in touch with me, we have a website. It's www.theredeyepod.com. And from there you can, you know, find our email contact form, sign up to the newsletter if you fancy that, it's just once a month, and see where find us wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Oh, absolutely. And we'll pop the details down below. But yeah, it's a busy day for you. You're doing some media rounds today?
Yeah, got a couple of interviews. And I mean, I'm trying to do all this 8 hours behind you guys.
Yeah.
So this has been fun. And yeah, and also trying to keep on working with my voiceover business, because it's running alongside it. So it's a busy day today, but I'm so excited. I had this dream back in December, I think it was. And now that's I've cool. got it. Oh, thanks, Alex. Yeah, that's me. please follow, subscribe, because all of that just helps it become a bit more visible to the world. But I'm just so excited it's finally here. It's been 3 months of daydreaming, and now it's out.
Yeah,
it's great.
Congratulations. It's been a big day. Yeah, I remember chatting to you December. And the build up to it. There's a couple of people here I'd love to have had on today, but they can't be with us today. Alex, people following you, where can they find you?
In the ether.
In the ether.
easy to track down on social media, I'm afraid, at Alex Chisnell, and podcasters, screw it, just do it. And what I will say is, alluding to something Ali said before about dinner conversations, it's funny, isn't it? When you're at, you know, a dinner, or you're at the pub, or you're meeting people for the first time, and the airline, you know, conversation pops in that you used to work for an airline, that they always ask you, so did you ever anything interesting happen to you? Before you know it, I'm literally like, oh yeah, medical emergencies, engines on fire, restraints. I won't mention that one that I'm going to tell Ali, that's going to definitely be an episode. I mean, you could literally go off like, you know, billionaires, broom parties, you know, you name it. Before you know it, it literally story upon story upon story upon story. It really does kind of prod you and, you know, drift up those memories from the past that still seem clear as you like in your own mind. And you kind of realize they're a couple of decades ago now for me. But it's amazing if you, you know, to get to put it, you know, concise into a podcast, and to have that kind of variation, I think, as well. Like when you said, you know, crew, pilots, air traffic control, ground staff, passengers, you name it, celebrities. Mm-hmm. We could come on in here the other side of that, you know, get some fantastic stories. Excited for it.
Yeah, no, Ali, me too, you know, myself as well. I'll be listening. Honestly, because we've been building up this project for so long, I really can't wait to hear it. I'm hoping you guys will join me in congratulations on one of our other Not Just Crew presenters, Jen Parker, who is now Dr. Jen Parker. Literally
amazing.
5 years of study.
So really cool.
She proves it. Not Just Crew. She literally used to land, go straight to medical school, present for us during the COVID as well, and honestly, I'm so chuffed for her, chuffed for all of you. Honestly, it's been an excellent journey for me, and it's been great to have you guys on board. But listen, thank you both for joining us. It's nice to see everyone back again. Say, Ali, I'll leave you to your busy day. Have you had breakfast yet, Ali? What time are you in Seattle?
Oh, yeah.
11 o'clock. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's 11 o'clock. It's nearly lunchtime.
Yeah, yeah. That's my Seattle clock after you. There you go. Just.
Oh, thanks, love. You can always know where I am.
Yeah, just because I always worry about messaging you at these silly times. I've got, but you said you keep your phones off anyway during the evening. Alex, I'll try not to message you at all if I can. during darkness hours anyway. Okay, guys, listen. I'm going to wrap up there. Thank you so much to those guys for joining us. Wonderful seeing them. Remember to join them on social media, and join us next week. We've got the interview with Alex at the studio around the King's Cross area. And anytime soon, hopefully, should be interviewing Dr. Jen Parker. But other than that, thank you so much for joining us, and we shall see you soon.
Five, four, three, two, one.